Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. Let's kick things off with tremors in the magosphere. President Donald Trump unleashed early Friday on former allies, including Megyn Kelly and Tucker Carlson, calling them losers with low IQs over their stance against the war in Iran. Here's more with Mark Cox on what has the president so riled.
So many times the left, just because of TDS and in large part other places in the world who just hate Donald Trump, they long for the days of Barack Obama bending over and bowing to them. Those days are over, thank goodness. They fail to see the bigger picture, the strategery of what Donald Trump is doing here.
The United States has to, and hopefully the first thing we do when and if this war is resolved, is detach from Israel, not declare war on Israel or treat Israel as an enemy. They may treat us as an enemy, as they have before, when they tried to sink the USS Liberty, an American naval vessel, a surveillance vessel. They treated us as an enemy. We don't have to treat them as an enemy, however, and we shouldn't. But we should treat them like we treat every other country.
Tucker Carlson there, you know who he was talking about, that big evil enemy, Israel. Our strongest partner in a sea of lunatics in the Midwest, or in the Middle East, I should say, the Mideast. The approach by some of the people, and of course the left is having a ball with this, they would normally never ever play a Tucker Carlson or Megyn Kelly soundbite on their air, but now they see them as useful idiots, and they want to use what they're saying to try to somehow undermine the president and what's going on in Iran. When you talk about somebody who is acting like your enemy, it's okay to say that. I mean, there are people who wish for failure in what we've done in Iran so they can try to prove some political point. It's awful. Same thing that happened in Venezuela. I mean, right down the line where Donald Trump has tried to use America's strength to negotiate a better world. Greenland comes to mind. The enemies of America attack. Some of them are from Europe. Some of them are right here in our own country, and they can't stand it. There's such a bigger issue at stake here. I brought this up earlier. I want to play this whole bite for you because I think it's important. There's a broadcaster in England who's trying to point out to what clearly the people over there have not grasped. They see internal political problems. They see increasing pressure from radical Muslim communities that they've allowed to fester and grow like an open wound inside of their countries. They're worried about these things. They don't want to inflame them. So they make decisions that are not in their best interest, like not supporting their NATO ally in this effort to remove Iran from being a political threat anymore, a geopolitical threat. That's what they are. That's how they exist. They support terrorism all over the world. And you finally got somebody who's dealing with it after 47 years. What the democratic socialist leaders in Spain and France and now apparently the United Kingdom can't stand, what they can't tolerate, is a strong America. That's not what they want. They want a Barack Obama or Joe Biden America that bends over at the waist for them constantly, bows to them, and never aggressive. That they don't want an America that leads. Donald Trump has led, and what he's accomplished in the scarce year and 3 months he's been in office is nothing short of incredible. You have to look at it in its entirety and not piece by piece. There's something going on here that is going to secure our freedom, our liberties for decades to come, maybe generations to come. And you've just got to, people in Europe are seeing it. I've talked about it before. A few people in America on the conservative side see it. I don't know why nobody else can see it, because this is what's happening. So there's a guy named Alex Armstrong over in Great Britain who put this out yesterday, and it speaks to a bigger truth. It speaks to truth people in Europe need to hear, but they're not, I don't know how many of them are paying attention. So I'll play this for you. You'll love his voice. It's kind of long, But here, first of all, was his warning to the United Kingdom. Listen.
Because the consequences for us will be catastrophic. Right now, we are dangerously exposed. We have no energy security. We import around 60% of our food. We have no major industry. Our military is decimated, as we're hearing time and time again. And politically, we are deeply fractured now. Even culturally, we are crumbling at the seams, dominated by global political issues like Gaza, climate fanaticism, and movements like BLM that frankly have nothing to do with the state of play in Britain. The things that once united us, our faith and our national identity, are now pulling us apart due to years of left-wing globalism. Unless we act quickly and decisively, Britain risks entering a dark age as America retreats, one that we haven't seen for over 1,000 years.
Yeah. So then he starts talking about why there's a bigger issue here, and that is the United States is playing chess and defeating China at every turn because we control the oil coming out of Venezuela, and we've now controlled the oil coming out of the Strait of Hormuz, which accounts for about 70% of all the oil going to China. Listen.
Now consider the impeccable timing of all of this since January. America is right in the middle of a tariff and trade negotiation with the very stubborn and very powerful, might I add, Chinese government, who are not budging on Donald Trump's arrangements here. Well, look who's got the upper hand all of a sudden. It's America. They are now controlling the vast swathes of oil that China needs. That puts them in a very strong position going forward on these tariff agreements. And Europe is also getting hit hard a lot with this. With Russian energy totally off the table and domestic energy security weakened by this leftist obsession with net zero, Europe is becoming increasingly dependent on external oil supply and energy supply. And that puts America, again, in a very strong position because we will soon be wholly dependent on American supplies of oil and gas. They will dictate terms and use energy as leverage, not just economically, but geopolitically too. And what do we know that they really want? Greenland.
You know what I want? What I really, really want? I want Greenland. But the point is, he showed a map. And once the United States controls Greenland, and obviously we're covered from north to south, because now we have influence in Venezuela, the United States has its own control of its hemisphere. Hugely important. Hugely important. For the first time in generations, can you imagine not having to worry about a madman in Venezuela or Cuba off the coast of Florida?
Here's more on how MAGA and the GOP should feel about Trump from the Annie Frye Show.
Joining us now from Advancing American Freedom, senior legal fellow there, Hans von Spakovsky. Can I ask, have there been a more important president when it came to Supreme Court decisions? It seems like most of the things Donald Trump brings up, he just basically assumes it's going to go in front of the Supreme Court. And it seems like all of the different challenges he's had and the things that he's tried to change during a president, I can't recall any president that had so many issues that's been brought up to the highest court.
Oh, look, I think you're absolutely right about that. I mean, look, right now we're waiting on cases. There's a whole list of important cases that probably will have the most far-reaching effect of any recent session of the court. I mean, the birthright citizenship case obviously is going to affect literally millions of aliens in the United States, particularly the millions of illegal aliens that came in during Biden. The president, for the first time in 100 years, has challenged all the independent federal agencies that Congress has been setting up, you know, the SEC, the FTC, all these agencies that Congress set up over which the president has no supervisory authority. And, you know, there's two cases now before the court in which he's saying, look, I'm the head of the executive branch constitutionally. Congress, you can't set up these independent agencies over which I've got no control or supervision. That case alone, if he's successful, that'll be the biggest case when it comes to the power of the executive branch over the federal government. Like I said, in almost 100 years. And there's all kinds of other cases like that.
What do you think about that approach, the strategy? I always felt that as someone like Donald Trump, if it was me, and I knew that every single thing I tried to do would be challenged and feet would be dragged and it would be impossible to get any part of the agenda done. So you know what? If it's going to end up in the courts anyway, I'm just going to do it. And then we'll let the courts decide, because ultimately that's the way it's going to go. I feel like that's been his approach mostly. And sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses, but it's the only way to get anything done.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that is the way to try to get things done. And that is the president's approach. He is the boldest president we have had in a very, very long time. In fact, I would actually say he's probably the boldest president we've had since Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who really stretched and pushed the federal government to expand its power and reach in a way that no one had ever seen before. And yeah, what he's doing keeps getting challenged in the courts, but even though he's losing a lot in the lower courts, frankly, I think because of radical partisan judges, he's actually winning a lot when it goes up to the courts of appeal and at the Supreme Court.
Right. So there's also a lot of things going on. But going back to this birthright citizenship, and what do you think is going to happen? Just like we were wondering about what's going to happen with the tariffs, we got that decision. But what do you think is going to happen with the birthright citizenship?
I tell you, that is a really tough case to predict, because the Supreme Court has never in its entire history faced this issue squarely. Are the children of aliens illegally in the country, are they U.S. citizens? They've never decided that issue. The closest they came was almost 130 years ago. And back then, they simply said that the kids of permanent resident aliens, in other words, aliens who are here legally and are here, you know, as long-term residents, they said that, yeah, they are citizens. I do think the administration is fighting an uphill battle, not because they're wrong, but just because the federal government has had this policy now for many decades of acting as if birthright citizenship is the law, even though I think that's a wrong interpretation. So I don't know. I guess I'd put the odds of his winning right now about 40-60, with 40 being the chances of them winning. I hope it's the other way around, because I think he's absolutely right.
Yeah. Well, let's look at, but this is what you hear a lot too, speaking of legal challenges, the 25th Amendment comes up in a lot of liberal circles. Yeah. The idea that the president is incapable of holding office. So it's funny, because you're someone that studied the Constitution, but we have a lot of constitutional scholars that know a lot about the 25th Amendment right now that said it would apply right now to Donald Trump. What would you say to them? When I say that in air quotes, tongue in cheek.
Yeah. That is a ridiculous claim, and it is one that is based purely on politics and the fact that they don't like the policies of the president. Look, the 25th Amendment was put in to cover a president who physically or mentally becomes so ill, so sick that he can't carry out his duties. And, you know, the real example everybody uses is President Wilson, right? Oh, more than 100 years ago, who had a stroke. And in essence, his wife hid that, and she ran the government for like the last 2 years, ran the White House. And it is not to be used to get rid of a president just because you disagree with him on policy. Maybe you don't like what he's doing in Iraq, but the claim that that's due to some kind of mental illness is obviously not true.
Tara Servatius has something to say about infighting among the GOP.
Well, I can't believe... Wait, yes, I can. That the Bush contingent of the Republican Party is pushing amnesty right now. Why is the Bush contingent of the Republican Party pushing amnesty right now? Absolute outrage has broken out as people are finding out the details of this bill Republicans are pushing. But there's an important thing you should note about it, Lee. Mm-hmm. There's only 20 of them. Most of the co-sponsors are Democrats. So this isn't a, I've seen people online, this is a Republican betrayal. No, these are 20 Republicans who very helpfully have gone on record with where they stand so we can primary them as service to the country. Why is this happening? I've been watching Amnesty for a very long time. What they have brought back here, Lee, is the actual original Bush amnesty bill in all its horror. But they're doing a thing they normally wouldn't do. And you saw this with Mike Lawler, who went on Laura Ingraham and then rapid fire lied so fast she could barely debunk him as he went, but she did a pretty good job. And he volunteers, oh, we're going to legalize 25 million illegals. They never said that during the Bush era. That's the only thing. They always lie. And so it's going to be like 9 or maybe 5. I don't know. Why would he say 25 million? What is going on here? First of all, this is going nowhere. It doesn't even have a scheduled date to be heard in committee, okay? It's dead. If it's not dead, when it's not dead, I'll let you know, it's dead. So why are they doing this? Mm-hmm. Well, there's a good reason why they're doing this. And the reason why they're doing this is going to make you happy. Trump is having unbelievable success getting illegals to leave and getting employers to fire them. But smartly, unlike what he did with the big announcements of, hey, ICE is going to Minneapolis, and Antifa's like, so are we. He's not talking about it. Letters went out from the Department of Homeland Security after we won a critical lawsuit Trump's been fighting for a year. People don't know this. They say, why isn't he deporting people? Why doesn't he just go get? Because he couldn't. Democrat judge blocked Trump from reading his own internal IRS files. You know the ones he's responsible for as the executive?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be like the people who manage this place, Lee, and they come in and find there's a judge's order saying they're not allowed to see anything going on in this building.
Yeah, kind of hard to manage things that way.
Right. It's stupid and unconstitutional. So it took months, but he beat them, right? He didn't trust the Democrats who run the IRS. He sent Homeland Security's investigative team into the IRS to extract the files. So what is in the files? Well, for years, our IRS has tolerated law breaking. You've got Social Security numbers so fraudulently used. There's hundreds of illegals using that same number to work. They know this within the IRS. They just ignore it, right? Well, now we got their home address, their place of work, their name, and their employer. Guess what you could do with that? Exactly what Trump is doing. Letters went out about 2 weeks ago from the Department of Homeland Security on Homeland Security letterhead saying, hey, you've got these like 9 illegals working for you. Might want to do something about that. They're being fired all over the country. The Washington Post has been raising the alarm about this. Lee, 131 fired at just 5 D.C. restaurants after these letters went out. Because you can go to prison as an employer for this. I mean, it'd panic you to get that in the mail, right?
Yeah.
Get out there. They're speaking out. And they are trying to tank their own party in the midterms for the Bush wing, which is the open borders wing. They are as hardcore open borders as the Democrats. Why? Because if Republicans get elected, they are not going to be open borders Bush Republicans, Lee. They're going to be Trump Republicans with all the Trump Republican expectations of immigration enforcement. They can't have that. So the Bush wing is panicking.
Here's more from Bob Rose on Republicans sometimes not acting like you would expect, and ditto for the Democrats.
Greg Cassidy. Of course, our headline still day 42 of epic fury and still controversy over the Strait of Hormuz. You've got the controversy between Hezbollah and the Israelis. So a lot is still going on there. Loved the fact that a guy that Bob and I have made a lot of reference to, because when he was running for office, we were not on board. Now, again, it wasn't a local office. We're talking about Senator John Fetterman, Pennsylvania. When he was running against Dr. Oz, we thought, oh, my goodness, there's no way. This bummy-looking dude in a hoodie and shorts, and then he had a stroke, which was tragic. But you're like, what? He won? The guy who had the stroke, who can barely talk right now, actually beat Dr. Oz. We were blown away by that. But we have seen since then, he's about the only Democrat that's got more than a couple of brain cells to bounce off each other and come up with some decent ideas. I mean, he's been reasonable. He has been very logical. He's been very fair and balanced, to steal a term, in his thought pattern. He's been supportive of things that Donald Trump has done. I mean, I don't know how long they'll let him stay in the party. I'm serious. I mean, Hannity did a big thing on, look, if you're not into all the weird DEI, if you're not into all the things, the gender stuff, all those things that the Democrat Party is for, they just basically kick you to the curb. I don't know how much longer he can actually be a Democrat. I mean, I just can't imagine that they will let him. But he was on with Jesse Waters, and he said, Senator, do some members of your party think Trump is more dangerous than the Iranians? There's a question, but we chuckle at it, but there are people who believe that. There are really people who believe, and I'm not talking about just Democrats. All these Republicans yelling for the 25th Amendment, come on. Do you not understand how Donald Trump works? Well, Fetterman said, I can't speak for any other Democrats, but the American media has essentially become carrying water for Iran. And they're describing the kinds of circumstances. Then they forget the way Iran behaved. Why can't we all just basically call what Iran has been and what it continues to do? Those things. America is the force of good in the world, and holding Iran accountable for what they've done is important. Hello, I hope he is speaking to, again, not only the average American or other Democrats, but so-called conservatives and Republicans. You forget who the bad guy is here, if you will. It's the Iranians. 30 or 40,000 of their own people killed just in the last year or so because they stood up for their rights and don't like the way things are going. They get all bent out of shape. Does Trump take an unorthodox approach? Does he use words he shouldn't that aren't very nice? Yeah, I would agree with that. But those words and those threats were not for the American people. They were for the Iranians to hear. And it did, at a good level, at least stop a lot of the fighting and the death. And that is what Donald Trump is all about. I mean, again, the Abraham Accords. This guy is about peace. He's not about annihilation or wiping a group of people off the planet. No, it's the Iranians referring to Big and Little Satan and wanting us wiped off the map. But somehow Americans don't care about that. You don't think they will do that if they possibly can? You're just kidding yourself, and you're not paying attention. You've got your agenda. I get it. I understand. Follow the Constitution. I understand. Donald Trump doesn't do things the same way every other president has done, but he's at least tackling things that presidents haven't for a very long time, taking on those challenges and trying to do as much as he can before the midterms when things could turn on him and he couldn't get anything done. So just slow down, cool your jets, pay attention, understand how he works. Hey, speaking of jets, although not really jets, talking about rockets, and I don't mean little rocket man in Korea, talking about Artemis II. Yeah, they are coming home tonight. I think they adjusted the time a little bit. Originally, they were saying probably close to 8 o'clock Eastern. They may have adjusted that a little bit. You know, this whole rocket business, sometimes things change. But, yeah, they're going to be heading home. Of course, you know, that trip home is really the dangerous part. Yeah, getting off the ground with a huge rocket strapped to you, yeah, that can be dangerous too, as we found out early in Apollo. But as we found out later in, well, shuttle and such, it's actually coming home that really is the dangerous part. And 13 minutes is what NASA says, the director there says, 13 minutes that you have to get right. I mean, stop and think about that. You're talking about 5,000 degrees streaking through the atmosphere. I mean, that's scary stuff. You know, people ask, well, would you go into space? You know, would you? And I've had that asked of me over the years. When I was younger, I'd have said, sure, absolutely. Then a couple of things happen, and you're like, well, I don't know. Don't know if I would or not. I don't know. Would you? Something to think about. I guess it depends. In something like this where you're just going up, you go around the moon, you come back home. As long as everything goes well, you're fine. But it was interesting in talking the other day when the Artemis was taken off. I actually did get a couple of phone calls from folks who go, hey, why are they talking about, you know, Artemis and going to the moon again? They didn't like the word again because they said we've never been there. And I believe we've been there. Okay. I was born in Houston, though I was raised in St. Louis. Friends, family, friends of family. Can't tell you how many people work for NASA. You know somebody that works for NASA if you live in Houston or Kennedy Space Center, kind of the same thing. It's easy to say and get misled by very carefully edited YouTube videos to believe that concept. When you stop to think about how many people you would have to have in on it, tens of thousands. I mean, they do build the rockets, all those suppliers, all those companies, all those people, all those employees, all the people at NASA doing all the... So I guess they were all in on faking the tracking. They were all in on faking the video. They were all in on it, but somehow none of them talked. I'm not going for that. Now, I know you can watch the videos, and people who are uninformed about certain things because they're only basing their responses on their limited knowledge, which is what we all do in life. We base what we think by what we know. But if there's things you don't know, you miss out on those pieces of the componentry to come up with a good response or an answer or a theory. People say, oh, there were no stars in the photo. See, they were just in a set in California when they weren't, in the desert of Arizona, whatever. Well, first off, there's this thing called day and night. And even on the moon, because of where the sun is, without certain types of camera and apertures, you're not going to see stars. That is science. That is true. Oh, the flag, it couldn't wave in a vacuum. Well, first off, you've got the horizontal pole that's actually holding it. And if you watch very carefully, it's the movement of all that going on that's actually moving the flag. It's not like it's sitting there by itself, blowing in the wind of the Arizona desert again. I saw this one chopped up in a video where they would cut off the end of sentences that then followed up in relation to the Van Allen radiation belt. Did I say that right? Van Allen. Yes, Allen. The lunar module, obviously, was an issue too because people said, oh, it didn't blow up a bunch of dust. I didn't see flames. All these kind of things. Well, first off, you don't put rocket engines on the lunar lander like you do on a rocket trying to break Earth's gravity. It's a whole different thing. It's low thrust. You're throttling the engine trying to land. It's not a massive rocket. Partially because of that vacuum environment, exhaust disperses differently. You're not seeing flames. You're not seeing all the dust flying around because it's really just not how it works. People said, well, there were no footprints or tracks. Well, actually, that's not true. You can still find recent images from the NASA Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, and they show where they were, where they landed, where the flag is, footprints, rover tracks, descent angles, all that kind of thing. It's there. Independent organizations have done the same thing, research. You can see it. It's there. Whatever. Now, you got to remember, too, the timing of the 60s. And we were in the Cold War with Russia. Sometimes a little colder. We were hoping it wasn't going to get really hot. They obviously beat us in the space race in the sense that they did the whole orbiting ahead of us. They beat us in that regard, which is why President Kennedy said, here, hold my whatever, fill in the blank. And we were going to be first to get to the moon by the end of the decade. And we did, 1969. Do you think that the Russians, who were our biggest enemy in the world, at the time, that we are competing with to get to the moon, because, they were tracking our spacecraft. They were tracking what we were doing. They were monitoring what was being said. They knew all that. Do you honestly think that they would do all that and then admit we beat them if we didn't? Don't think so. No, they would have called foul. They would have said, we're lying. They would have said, we didn't really go. And they would have all this. They had to come up with a fake proof to show that we really didn't go there. So, that's just some responses to what are the usual things if you spend too much time on YouTube. And again, you can't believe everything that you see. Okay.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. Listen wherever you get podcasts and smash that subscribe button.